Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. One of the major emphases in both Old Testament Judaism and New Testament Christianity is peace. The Hebrew people have used the word shalom in their greetings and in their goodbyes for many years. There certainly is good reason for their doing so. The inspired psalmist wrote, "Keep your tongue from evil, and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it." Psalm 34:13-14. The Apostle Peter quoted these words from Psalms, and recommended them for the one who will love life and see good days. 1 Peter 3:10-11. The psalmist also wrote, "Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Psalm 119:165. The New Testament has much to say about peace. Peace with one's fellow man and with God. A few examples will establish that fact beyond dispute. Jesus assured his apostles, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid." John 14:27. After discussing the troubles over eating meat, Paul said to the Romans, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another." Romans 14:19. The Hebrew writer pled with his readers, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Hebrews 12:14. What God has done for the human family has made peace among us possible. But I want to concentrate today on peace with God Almighty. Paul said it pleased the Father that in Him, that is in Jesus Christ, should all the fullness dwell, and, having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all men unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Colossians 1:19-20. The Ephesian letter says, "For He is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them who were nigh." Ephesians 2:14-17. Paul assumes in the Colossian passage that men, both Jews and Gentiles, were alienated from God. In the Ephesian letter, he specifically states that truth, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Ephesians 2:12. Man, in his lost condition, could do nothing to save himself. God had to arrange for Christ to come to this earth and to die on the cross for our sins. There was absolutely no hope without God's taking the initiative to save sinful men. That is the reason Paul tells us, "Even when we were dead in sins, has He quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." Ephesians 2:5. The means by which God brought salvation to men was the cross of Jesus Christ, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. In spite of the contentions of many modernistic theologians, the blood of Christ was essential for our salvation. Paul said in the Colossian letter, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Colossians 1:14. Frankly, I do not have access to the counsel of God except as revealed in the Bible, and cannot tell you why God chose to save men by the blood of Christ. But I know the Bible teaches that truth, and so do you, if you believe what the Bible teaches. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God bless you.